Hey gang, welcome back. We Watch Stuff 102. We got a lot to talk about. I'm Jeremy. Shahid is on the other end. And we just finished Arrow, and we figure let's just get into this stuff. So, first off, how you doing, man?
I am extremely tired. I ran 7 miles the day before Arrow started. Don't ask, and I've been fasting the majority of the day, so running 7 miles while not eating and drinking the whole day is not something I recommend to a normal person.
But well, Ramadan hasn't started yet, right?
No, it doesn't start till Saturday. I was just trying to get my body a head start so I can kind of like get used to it. But yeah, so I was doing fine, and then we were watching that episode, and I think that's the first time we've like live tweeted each other because of our TV situations in a while. And then what a perfect episode to do. Like, man, I think we had the same reaction at the same time based on how it ended.
Okay, everybody, so here's your warning. Spoilers are abound, so if you have not watched the episode, come back and listen to this. If you haven't watched Flash, come back later. If you haven't watched Supergirl, and probably Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we got to work that in. So there's our rundown for the show. Let's do the immediate reaction, obviously. That's the first Arrow cliffhanger, right?
Yes.
And boy, oh boy, what a cliffhanger that is.
Yeah, we were wondering about, we were hoping, like, you know, I hope such and such doesn't die. And that was like, it lead with almost everybody, you know, they didn't all die. It was like, I can't remember the last time a show has had a cliffhanger like that where it ends with almost everybody could have been dead.
That's what I was trying to figure out, is even, like, the first season, you know, the earthquake machine, whatever, went off. And I thought that was pretty ballsy. You know, the good guy loses. And then season two, I mean, he loses his mom. He doesn't kill Slade, puts him away. What was season three? Was that
Ra's al Ghul? He kills Ra's al Ghul, but Malcolm Merlyn takes the spot. And him and Thea, or the, like, Diggle's kind of, everybody's kind of angry at him based on how stuff went down.
And this is season five, right?
This is season five.
Okay.
Yeah, season four was Damien Dark, where
that's right,
a nuclear explosion actually happened.
Yes. Which you just like, kind of forgot. Yeah,
Arrow's had seasons where, you know, the bad guys have won episodes, like one big, but wow, like, see, I was gobsmacked.
I didn't. All right. So basically, everybody, here it comes. Chase shoots himself, which actually happens in the comics. Well, I mean, I know he's not actually Adrian Chase, but in the comics, he's so overcome with grief because as Vigilante, Adrian Chase didn't kill anybody until he started going nuts. He killed somebody, couldn't handle the grief, and shot himself in the head. So at the end, you know, when Oliver shoots him in the leg, and I'm like, oh, he's getting out of it. And I'm thinking, that was too easy. And then he pulls the gun, and I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a countdown. They didn't show the people on the island like running or anything. So I guess there's the plausible part where they got across the island. And that stuff just starts blowing up.
Yeah, and the face Oliver made, like, just, that whole episode was just emotional. Like, beginning, I don't know, like, how much I missed Manu Bennett Slade until I saw the beginning of this episode. Like, I was just, it was just the two of them talking was just so damn awesome, because it's kind of like, frenemies? Like, agreed brother and everything. Like, I want to give, like, first how they going to kind of like talk this out, because it's like, yeah, you know, did kill my mom, and this kind of, and if we forgot, it was mentioned multiple times in this episode, but they just have such great chemistry, and he just has such great gravitas. I was like, I hope they don't kill him. That's the first thing I was thinking, like, whole week,
because it sure seemed like, well, really, it seemed like that was a setup for everybody. Like, Thea, they kind of hinted at it. Malcolm Merlyn, I guess. And that's why I wrote you, like, well, we didn't see a body. So,
yeah, but I know he wasn't. He's not showing up on any of the shows next year. Oh. So I already know that was announced. So when I saw it, I was like, Oh, that sucks, then. Yeah. I think it's like a scheduling issue because he's busy doing other stuff. But yeah, it was a lot of those kind of like, because you know, Thea's busy because she was like kind of like almost a guest star this season because of like scheduling too. That's why she wasn't on that much.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah. They were like, we only had her for like a certain amount of episodes. That's why she'll vanish for like a month.
Okay.
So it's funny, like you don't think about it, like, you know, some of these people are actually working doing other stuff. Like they say it's hard getting certain people because people work. But yeah, like, a lot of times kind of like they foreshadow like this person may die and that person may die and everything like that. But just seeing the two of them just talk and him, you know, I was laughing. When you was like, how much is this? Maybe they just filmed it. He's just in a cell and you won't see him again. It's just him ADR because you notice he's walking around with the suit without a mask on. And then you see him with the suit without the mask, and you like put the mask back on.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they're having like another heart to heart. He's giving him the advice, and I'm going, oh god, just come on. Because this show isn't exactly afraid to kill people off, apparently. And I think it's a safe bet to say they're not dead. But one thing I was going through was, wow, there's a lot of people in this episode. We got to start trimming some fat here.
Yeah, like it's basically like they said, this is 5 years after this, not even counting the flashback, is everybody on the team, almost all of the main villains that are still alive, all of the new villains from this season, like basically everybody except for Vigilante was on this episode. And you realize like it's a lot of this cast is kind of big, like star and like guest star and special guest star, like you like when they were doing the credits, it's like it's about 15, 16 names on this.
Yeah, I'm going through like some of the Twitter reactions.
Yeah, I was doing that too. It's kind of like one, people jaw dropping, then people like trying not to cry when he had the scene with his mom. And
okay. They pulled out a lot of special like spots in this. They for what, 47 minutes? Is that what these usually are? 45-minute shows?
44, 45.
Yeah, they crammed a lot into this, and putting Moira in at the end, that was not expected whatsoever. Because they never showed him leaving the island. So, I guess that was never addressed, like how he contacted her or something like that.
Yeah, and it's funny, he on Twitter said, you know, I have a scene with somebody that's not in the credit, like, you know, that hasn't been shown yet, that's extremely emotional. And I saw it, but didn't think, like, who could it be? And it's funny, in hindsight, it makes sense, but it never crossed my mind, because ever since she passed away, like, she's been part, like, she's been remembered in the show, but they don't really talk about her that much. So it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. So for her to pop up, and just imagine that, like, you think your entire family's been dead, and then all of a sudden 5 years later, your son calls you out the blue. You're thinking, of course, it's a fraud. And then the relation, and then the conversation, it's just damn heartbreaking.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like now I'm going from like the giddiness of like I can't believe they had the audacity to blow up everybody, supposedly, to now just like find like that little heist coming down. And I'm thinking, how the hell are they getting out of this one?
Yeah, because just the whole thing. Like, I'm just thinking like the scene when Malcolm steps on the landmine. Like, he basically shoulder tackles Thea. And it's like, okay. How, you know, it's like, is he going to disable us? As soon as Digger showed up and Malcolm had that little smile, I was like, wow, they really going there. Like, this episode is not messing around. Like, it's kind of, you wouldn't think he was just going, you know, because he's like, you out here in the open, what kind of plan is that? And he's like, I'm going to show you. When would you see normally, like, somebody basically suicide bombing themselves for somebody? And because that's kind of like what it was. It's like, on a TV show, a CW, like, Arrow's violent, but it's kind of like, that's Malcolm Merlyn. Like, they really going to kill him? Like, I know you said you didn't see a body, but yeah.
Well, the only thing I'm thinking is he pulled Harkness onto the mine. and then ran off. So he's maybe he was outside of it. So at least they blew up Digger so he can get rid of Boomerang. Yeah, and this and is the fanboy just like trying to grasp at anything.
Yeah. I mean, if it is, it's funny. Whenever he's in on shows, he's always been that guy. You feel like he's gonna switch sides because Spartacus, he was like that. Person of interest was hard watching him because he was kind of like a bad guy that became a good guy. And it's like, I still don't trust him. Even when he was a good guy, because I remember him from Spartacus. And then here, it's kind of like you said to yourself, like, you know, that fits the character because as soon as he's there to switch sides, he's there, like, ready for it. And I do like that line when he's like, how come I don't have a weapon? He does. And he's like, I trust him more. Like, he killed your mom, didn't he?
And I also like how that was immediately addressed. As soon as Slade's out of the cell, he goes, I mean, I killed your mother. You remember that? And then Harkness has to do the same thing. So, and then I think Thea mentioned it, we're orphans because of him. And then there was something else.
Diggle said something like, "Why are you with him?" and everything. And Felicity says something, and that's the first time he actually said something smart was when Felicity said something like, "I still see you got your same fire," something like that. Yeah. So, but. I like how they play with the whole thing because first you see Digger turn and then you see him turn. Like, as soon as he turns, like, okay, he's faking it to get there, but it's kind of like you're not sure. But, like, I've seen enough movies and TV to see that happen, but then it's like, well, he already thought about it. Like, they wouldn't do that twice, would they? And it's kind of like, yeah.
And then at least, I mean, both times, I think the first time he was a little surprised, but the second time, I'm sure. I mean, it was nice though they had a plan, and that's why. So
yeah, and it's believable because everybody else looking at him like, yeah, this is the guy that tried to murder all of us and kill your mom. It's like, why is he here? And even like, because it was really nobody trusted him because Nisa kind of gave him the same look like why is he here? Everybody giving this look was why it was kind of like, you know. Strange times call for, you know, strange friends. And like he said, I'm not trying to fight. I'm not trying to have a fair fight because the odds are against me. I'm frigging villains and an RPG.
There's actually... Okay, so where did the RPG come into play?
They never used it.
Okay.
No. Chase used it because as soon as they... It's funny. 3 minutes after they land, they blow the plane up.
Yeah. Like, well, there's that. And then... You know, he knew. He's like, oh, they're going to my plane. Take it out. I was like, God damn, he was ahead of the curve the whole time. And outside of not committing suicide, mind you. But, no, I started laughing because I'm just reading some of the Arrow Twitter account put up. Thanks for watching the season of Arrow. And somebody's got a GIF or GIF, whatever it's called, of Stephen Amell fainting. And it just keeps saying dead over and over again. It's so childish. I don't usually laugh at that stuff, but it's pretty perfect. Because, I mean, you're right. I can't think of another show that would tease killing off the entire cast. Except for the main guy. And... Yeah, that's it. Yeah, now. That's everyone.
I'm watching now.
It's you know, and I don't know how to do this stuff, but it amazes me. Oh, that's just someone took a video. It amazes me how fast people get stuff on the internet, though. Yeah. Somebody already has the final, like, 10 seconds of the show already posted online. I mean, that's crazy. And I didn't catch it because my cheap-ass digital signal going through the TV speakers... I didn't hear. There were actually explosions still going on when the Arrow symbol showed up.
Yeah.
So just to make sure you know, it's still going on.
Yeah, and you notice when how the Arrow symbol normally, like when the show started, the Arrow symbol had the music from season one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that, and it's kind of like he said, you know, 5 years built up to this, and it was kind of like. We using our 5 years of history, and we're fixing all the stuff from season 3 and season 4 that built this. And for the most part, like beside a few stinkers here and there, it was just an awesome season. And it was a lot of stuff that just fit. And the villain, like I remember that dude from what was that show that used Sirens that used to come on after Raw when they like had the ambulance show. They were like paramedics, and I remember like I watched a few episodes. I remember him there. Who would have guessed that he'd been, like, their best villain since season two, if not their best villain, period. Like, he was just awesome. And I watched the episode. I'm like, I wish this was a two-part episode.
That's what it seemed like. That's why I told you there's only 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
And boy, it delivered. Because, like, as we're watching, there were so many, like, special side moments that were cool, but it's like, I want to see Arrow fight this guy finally. And we finally got it. And then he also fought that's Kovar, right? I got the Russian guys mixed up.
Yeah.
And he kills Dolph Lundgren. I'm like, okay, so he's clearly not going to kill Chase now. But I was kind of hoping Dolph Lundgren was just lurking around somewhere. I mean, you know, he was so good in this season that I didn't want him to die. But
yeah,
he did. But yes.
And, like, all the scenes, all the fight scenes, it's kind of like all the people you wanted to paired up. One of the sisters fighting. And just even they talk for 30 seconds, it seemed like decades of just animosity and, like, a 20-second conversation that seeped out. Like, you could tell it was a lot of bitter feelings. And even though the fight didn't even last that long, you would think it was kind of be like more even, and Nisa basically like mopped the floor with her.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. Because Slade took out the guys that were going to get her. So, yeah. And then even the Canary fight, which that was some good stuff.
Yeah.
The choreography, they're throwing hands. And I'm like, this is not expected at all.
Yeah, and it's kind of like Katie Cassidy must have been in the gym because. We used to crack jokes about her fight scenes, and I was watching this like, and they were showing it up first. Like, I think that's her doing that. Like, she was never that good when she was like, you know, good Black Canary. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as like physicality and stuff like that, she's a lot better. I don't know if it's just her or the script they gave her. She's worlds better playing a villain than she ever was as a hero. Which is funny, and it's kind of like that fight scene. They were definitely throwing hands, and it looked believe like. I love when they do like I like when they do like the long. It kept bouncing back and forth between the present and the past.
Yeah,
but it wasn't distracting. Like season two was the same way. I like this is just awesome film work.
Oh yeah. The editing on that was crazy good, and. Yeah, I was just shocked how vicious they were throwing hands at each other. Because most of the time, you know, Arrow, we talked about this before, the Marvel show, the fight scenes, and yes, we're going to remove Iron Fist from this conversation, of course. The fight scenes in the Marvel shows on Netflix were just damn vicious. And so you see the ones on Arrow and CW shows for the most part, and they're fine, but they don't compare. It looks like somebody was like, no. You guys have 15 seconds of fighting, so here's what you got to do.
Yeah.
And boy, did they use full advantage of it.
I'd say out the CW shows, Arrow tend to have the best fight scenes because they have to, because they actually fight. It's not power-based. So, and they've had good fight scenes, but they never look like vicious.
Yeah.
It's always been like, you know, like you'll see somebody get shot or you see somebody get punched. Not, I'm trying to break your damn face. And yeah, everybody was throwing hands, and then I was wondering, like, they're not gonna really kill his son off, because even though it'd be more convenient, because Oliver with a son is just a pain in the ass. Like, no one really wants that. Like, he got a babysit or somebody kidnaps his son every three episodes. So I was wondering, like, do they got enough balls to do that? Like, I was thinking, like, the fact that I thought like maybe he actually killed him tells you how well they did that storyline, because you wouldn't think of like somebody killing a kid. You almost never see that on like TV shows. That's the one line you don't cross. And the fact you actually thinking that is like, wow. Like,
yeah. At first, I really didn't think he was done for. And of course, me, I'm like, oh, thank God. So we don't have to deal with this kid stuff anymore. And then. Especially because it's not Connor, so I don't care about William. So, whatever. But he said that, and then I liked how it wasn't along, crisis of conscience?
Yeah.
He was like, you're just doing this to get me to kill you. It's like, where is he at? I mean, not obviously much more vicious sounding than that, but they didn't have time to pitter-patter with. It's like, no, I know you're lying, whatever. And then at the end, I mean, I was like, oh, okay, so he's on the boat. Cool. I was waiting for Chase to throw him over, because who knows if the kid knows how to swim. And then Chase gets away at the end. Which would have been pretty crazy ending, because they had no way off the island.
Yeah.
Well, I guess other than the... I guess they could get to the east side of the island, and the Argus guys, you know, could... I'm guessing they have some supply chain there because of, you know, Argus keeping track of Slade and Boomerang. So at least that way they could have gotten some, you know, gotten off the island, but at least set up Chase for next season. But he ain't coming back. So yeah, that's the end of that one.
We gonna find out who comes back. Like, well, they have more. It's funny because I want to say I know Nisa had more freedom because Training Day got canceled. Manu Bennett show still on though. I know some of the people that are like guest stars, they signed to be like series regulars. Like both Canaries, and I don't know. Like, we didn't even talk about the. Yeah, I just have to say I'm just mad nobody punched that little girl Artemis in the face.
Okay, I'm just hoping she's dead, because boy, I don't give a shit about her. They didn't give a shit about her so much. She only showed up twice after she was revealed to be the traitor. I think it was only twice, maybe three times, and that's it. So she barely plays a significant part in it. So yeah, peace out, Toots. Get out of here.
So yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know what it is, because she was just such. I think it was kind of like she looked like she was 14, and she was just such a prick.
Yeah,
and self righteous about it. That was the whole thing. Her being, you know, you're a killer, and you didn't tell us you're a killer, and you failed the city, so I'm going to hang with a worse killer than you. And, like, he's been tense. Maybe he wanted me to get locked up. Maybe he wanted this off. Like, I'm like, just somebody to smack her in the mouth.
I was waiting for somebody to do that, but...
But all the women were kidnapped, and they're not going to have a guy do it, so...
Well, no, Felicity and all them were right there.
Oh, true.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was like, wait a minute, did I blank out? Yeah, but yeah, well, I don't know. She just played the part to be the traitor, and then it was as if they didn't have anything else for her to go on. That's fine, whatever. But yeah, she's not necessary anymore. And
yeah, because like Chase is like he really didn't need sidekicks, and no. It's kind of like, you know, Evil Black Canary is still Katie Cassidy. She has history, and she's got like weight to her. You know, this vigilante just bounced. They were like, we're going to save him for next season. Because, yeah. Like, when you have a villain that's as good as him, you don't need a whole bunch of other villains.
Yeah. Okay. One theory I'm propping off the top of my head. Ragman takes off. He can't teleport with that thing, can he?
They've always been weird with what he can do and what he can't do. Because it's kind of like, he can block bullets.
He also, you know, sucked up a nuclear warhead.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why he had to take off while it repowered. So, I'm just wondering if they're going to have some sort of mystical stuff with him being on the down low.
Constantine opened up a portal or something. So, I don't know. Like, and we got a long time to wait, too. So, when the season's normally start? Like, what, the October? November or whatever.
Something like that. I think October.
Yeah.
So it's.
It's been a.
Oh my God. It's been just 5 months.
It's been a strenuous week it's been a strenuous week for CW shows this whole week.
I'll readily admit this has been a damn good week for the CW shows. Because we can go back to Monday if you want, and Supergirl. Besides the blatant "hey, our character's better than Superman" stuff they did, I thoroughly enjoyed that show. And some of the, like, the end with, you know, all the Daxamites now can't come back, and Mon-El getting sucked into the Phantom Zone, I didn't see that coming. Which is a way, I guess, they can kind of bring him back. I don't know. At least that's what I think he got sucked into at the end. I don't know.
Yeah, over that, either Phantom Zone or like a time portal or something. It's kind of like, Yeah, that it was funny where it was like a typical Supergirl episode. It reminded me, it's like season one. And then like the last 10 minutes, it got real depressing real fast. It was like everybody's happy except for her. Like everybody else got what they wanted except for her. And like she may, you know, I gotta save the world, I gotta get with my boyfriend. And everyone's saying, you know, and he's like, yeah, you gotta do it and stuff. And even Superman's like, you know, if it was Lois, I don't know if I could do it or not. And considering it's kind of like how that plays into like Injustice, like that's the whole point of those video games. I kind of laughed at that, kind of like, yeah. And then, everything I noticed whenever Superman shows up, he's an awesome Superman.
Yes. Oh, that was going to get brought up. Yeah.
Yeah, like, he's just, I don't know what it is. Like, he just feels like Superman. Like, perfect. Like every time I see him, I'm just thinking like, that like the Clark Kent stuff, the Superman stuff, and it's not like he's trying. It just seems like it's just so natural. Yeah. And it's like that's amazing.
Well, and the thing is, it's the classic iteration of the character. It's, you know, he does the glasses and then the whole aw shucks stuff, to where the fact that Cat Grant, which was confusing me, because she goes, "Go get him, Supergirl," and I'm like, "Okay, so she's not stupid. All right." But yet she has no idea that Clark Kent
knows. She knows. She just playing around. They don't beat you over the head with it, but come on now. Like the fact she knew it was Jimmy Olsen just by looking through the damn helmet within 30 seconds. It's kinda like, and the whole thing is like kinda with the glasses and stuff and everything. Like that's always seemed like that's a ridiculous, you know, like how you don't know that Superman, you just wear different haircut and glasses. And they've shown enough that she's smart enough that she kind of knows. She just kind of like plays along with it. And yeah. I like that they show the fact that she, like that line at the end, like, go get them, Supergirls. Like, she can't be smart 99% of the time and just be dumb that 1%. I know they do that in comic books, but that just seems kind of like, yeah. And it just shows how much, I know we didn't talk about that much. Yeah, that show is a lot better when she's on it, when Calista Flockhart's there.
See, okay, and it took me a second. Something was rubbing me the wrong way about her. Like, how she just showed up again was kind of goofy, but whatever. But then she's name-dropping all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, they are writing this really obnoxiously. And I forgot that's what her character always does. I mean, yes. She was even dropping names. Well, who was it? Rob Lowe wanted to marry her twice?
Yes.
I was like, what? Oh, and I did like the little inside joke about how she's never seen Star Wars. So, for those who don't know, Calista Flockhart is married to Harrison Ford. So, which actually wouldn't surprise me if she hasn't seen Star Wars with how grumpy he is about those movies.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he never saw Star Wars.
Yeah. But yeah, but no, the ending of that, going to the Superman stuff, stay on that actually, trying to stay on point for a change. It was small moments, and then like when Wynn goes, well, you probably don't remember me. He goes, oh yeah, blah, 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 blah. And Wynn's like, huh? I was like, yeah, that's what Superman would do. Like, if it was Henry Cavill, which, you know, no offense to him, it's the way they're writing it, he'd just look at him snotty and be like, I don't know who you are, and just angry.
You know where Lois is?
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I remember that point, too. It's kind of like, it's the little. It's not. Mm-hmm. I think people miss the stuff, like, when they do Superman in the movies, they focus on the big stuff. It's like, it's not just the big stuff, it's the little things. Mm-hmm. That makes Superman Superman. It's like this show nails the little things, and they consistently nail it. It's kind of like I want to see more Superman on Super. Even though it's kind of like you don't want Supergirl to be overshadowed on her own show, and she's strong enough. I like that she got for a long time during the season. It was kind of like she was like a secondary character, because it was like everybody, it was about everybody else. And it's like the show is Supergirl, and she's awesome as Supergirl. Like, I don't need to see what James is doing, and Mon-El's cool, but it ain't his show and everything. Like, it's Supergirl's show. Like, have her be front and center.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they got back, having her back in front of center. And kudos, people always say, like, women actresses, once they hit a certain age, they don't get roles. There's a lot of old women that had roles on Supergirl this season. Like, women were getting work. So,
yeah, kudos to them. They bumped off poor Terry Hatcher. Damn. And there's no coming back from that.
No.
So she gone, and then the mom, like how she Linda Carter's on the show, and
I like how she cheated though. All this, you know, we're gonna fight fair, and if I win, you better stand by your word. And as soon as she lose, she like F that.
Well, she wasn't even like completely defeated. She was like, "No, I'm done."
And I do like the part where it's kind of like, you know, she bleeds kryptonite, and it makes sense to Tomo. You know, I got all this crap because your planet blew up and infected mine. So yeah, catch these hands. Like, go ahead, beat me up as much as you can, and see what it does to you. So something a little small like that, because you always wonder, like, you know, with the super people, kryptonite always comes into play, and they got the best of both worlds. You got to see General Zod, but not really see him.
Yeah, that was different. And they also mentioned War World, which is Mongol's ship. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh. And it was just kind of a throwaway thing, so I guess some of that happened. But.
And then you see the pod at the end, like, well, who is that mystery baby that left Krypton?
And they kept calling it. So I automatically went to Doomsday and then thought, maybe. But then my other thing was it could be the Eradicator. But it sounded like it was supposed to be a humanoid in some case, and he wasn't.
There's been some speculation. Like, I saw a little bit online, and I was kind of like, well, I didn't want to keep digging too much into it. Like, I'd rather be surprised. And I'm not a DC person anyway, so it's like, whoever, if it's not somebody like super big, it's gonna be a surprise to me anyway. So, but yeah, like I'm looking forward.
I don't think it could be Brainiac. That wouldn't make any sense. But
that wasn't. Yeah, he mentioned like a character that was in the comics, so in Supergirl comics, and it wasn't Brainiac, and it wasn't Doom. They thought it might be Doomsday, but it's kind of like we just got Doomsday, and you really want to. I don't know if we want to keep using Superman villains for Supergirl.
She doesn't really have a rogues gallery, though.
I mean, well, make somebody different. Make one. Like, or change one, because I'm kind of like, you told me how much different Prometheus was in the comics compared to the show, and it's like, that didn't stop Arrow, because he was awesome on the show. Like, you can always use inspiration, but you can make whatever you want. Like, as long as you make it good, people will not care.
Sorry, I still went through somebody's Arrow things, and a lot of people were saying it would have been better if it was Felicity that was on the landmine.
Oh, people just hate Felicity, I swear. Like,
yeah,
it's this. I don't know with the CW shows, because before they hated what's the name, Laurel. They hate Felicity. There's a lot of people that don't like Iris, but I think Wally's hated the most. Like everybody, and it's kind of like, why they hit all the young people and the women? What's with that?
Well, we can get to Wally in a second, but yeah, Supergirl. Though you're right, though the lack of villains. Let me look up real quick. Like, who is like her rogues gallery? Let me see what because there was a reason that Supergirl didn't exist for years after they killed her off in Crisis, because it was just like, all right, there's Supergirl. So let's see. Well, Livewire, but that was... Livewire was actually a Superman villain from the comics. No, I'm sorry, from the cartoon. So, yeah, I'm really not seeing a whole lot here. You know, so I shouldn't... All right, if I put Supergirl Rogues Gallery in a search engine, I shouldn't have to have the family filter on. I mean, come on!
It's a girl that wears, you know, even Jeb Bush is like, yeah, I might catch Supergirl. She looked kind of hot in that uniform. So that was a presidential candidate saying that while he was running for president. And so it's, you know how people are when it comes to women.
My God.
Especially women comic characters, kind of like, you know, browsers have those parodies for a reason, and it usually involves the women, not the men. So I'm looking forward to seeing that Wonder Woman one in like 2 weeks.
Oh god. Hey, that's next week.
Next week.
God damn, yeah. Thursday. So we already know what next week's show is gonna be about, gang.
But Speaking of, like,
I can't find anything, man. That's crazy.
I mean, I guess we'll find out next season along with all the other stuff. And speaking of next season stuff, Flash. Yeah.
I was really into that episode until the end. And I just went, whatever. The build-up, the whole thing, I mean, we got Jay back out of the prison, which I was like, yeah, all right. Yeah, now, is the Black Flash dead?
It sure seemed like it. It was kind of like, for as overpowered they made him, it was almost like the Boogeyman. It seemed like it did not take, like, she handled that like it was a walk in a damn park. And that was kind of like, wait a second, I'm like, that's all it took?
Yeah, because the entire point of Legend of Super of Tomorrow this year was Thuan was outracing the Black Racer. Not Black Racer, but Black Flash.
Yeah, and it's kind of like,
so he didn't think to get a goddamn freeze gun?
Wait, he hung with a guy that had a damn freeze gun. Exactly. I'm like, that's all it took? It's like, and people brought that up. It was like, yeah, it was too much of this whole plot, you know, plot gun that was going on. Like, the, you know, we got to advance the story somehow. And I will say this. Savitar, like Evil Barry, his face was just distracting the hell out of me. That was just disgusting. Like, it just looked like pizza. Like, I'm just looking at, like, he looks like a charred pizza. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it was. And this is somebody, like, I remember watching Deadpool. I remember how Harvey Dent's face looked in The Dark Knight.
Oof, yeah.
Hey, but if something about bare face, it is just uncomfortable to look at. I think that kind of finished still. It's like, I don't blame him for feeling the way he felt, because it was basically like he was created like as an accident to be garbage, and he come out looking like that and everything, and it's just like, yeah. It was just uncomfortable. Like, every time he popped up on screen, it was just very uncomfortable.
And I mean, it helped. So,
yeah.
The whole thing about taking him in and trying to help him, I'm like, well, this is stupid, because this isn't going to work at all. But it still gave us some nice moments. Sorry about that. Started getting choked up. Started getting all the feels. But, yeah, we, as predicted, we, you know, it wasn't Iris. It was Wells again. And, I mean, I was confused. Like, it's something that they do in all these shows. The scheme gets revealed, but yet you're fighting a guy who can single-handedly turn his ass around and just be like, oh, okay, now she's dead, you know? I was confused why... God damn it, Savitar couldn't have just killed Iris again.
I think he could have, but I think it was kind of defeating the point. It was kind of like, if she didn't die at that circumstance, then the plan's ruined. I think it wasn't just her dying. It was her dying at that exact moment, him seeing it. It was something like it had to happen then. If it didn't happen then happen then later, it was like, wouldn't have the effect to save him. Because it was like, yeah. And, yeah, you kind of knew, like, we talked about that, the whole switching thing. It's like, you kind of saw that coming. And it's funny where that whole his girlfriend losing her mind, like, they barely spent time for them to be like a couple. She's seen it. Like, I know he's a Casanova, but it's like, she took it way harder than you think she would. And yeah, it's like, I like how they broke it down. So at least it's kind of like, this is how we did the bait and switch and everything. So you kind of know. Because usually it's kind of like, oh, they did the switch and you just keep it moving. They actually spent effort to try to explain it. And I do like the whole stuff with Cisco and them, because it's kind of like, you know, like Cisco, like, I don't give a damn what you do to me. I'm not going to help you do whatever you do. And he's like, I'm going to do nothing to you. I'm going to kill Caitlin. And it's kind of like that, because the whole dynamic is kind of like they trying to save Caitlin, and Caitlin's kind of like stuck in between. And I've never understood, why is it she gets her powers, she's automatically evil?
That was... never totally explained, other than she just started, because she got her powers, she was turning evil because she was like her mom or something. And I'm thinking, this makes no sense. And then at the end, they reveal that, you know, she's not Killer Frost, and she's not Caitlin. She's somewhere in between. And she has brown eyes again, but white hair, and she's got somewhat of a complexion again. And I'm like, all right, guys, this doesn't make any sense. So
we're hedging our bets. So especially with season four, it's going to be a non-speedster villain, and thank God, because it's kind of like.
Oh, is that what they said?
Yes, that's what they said. I think having it 3 years in a row is kind of like enough is enough. So, yeah, I think they probably kind of had to say that. And it's just, you know, like, you know, they win. That fight was an awesome fight with the three of them fighting Savitar and him knocking down the trees and everything. It's kind of like when they want to do, they don't necessarily do like hand fight scenes, but they can do action scenes like very well with speed. I will say this. We didn't talk about the episode before with him and Captain Cold. When did Barry learn martial arts?
Wait, what was that again? You broke up on me. Sorry.
The episode before when they took got the battery for the Speed Force bazooka, and he was pretending to be, you know, Lila.
Yeah.
And he was just beating up all his guards. When did Barry learn martial arts?
Well, he can read really quick. And was it? Yeah. Well, all right. In the comics, I think Barry could retain some of the knowledge if he read quickly. Wally couldn't, but Bart could. It was something like that. So I guess maybe he watched a bunch of Kung Fu movies all of a sudden.
And that's the only time he decided to watch Kung Fu movies.
Yeah. He didn't pull a Keanu Reeves, you know, Neo-style learning going on.
Because he's never been a good fighter before, and he was a good fighter. Yeah, I noticed that's kind of like, wait a minute. Like, but it's kind of like I just kept it moving. But that definitely stood out. And it's funny, like, you think they have the happy ending, and everybody gets what they want. Season two, Harry Wells, which is my favorite one, like the grouchy one, is back. Everybody doing their thing. And then it's kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, we need somebody in the speed jail. Who's it going to be? And you kind of knew it was going to be Barry. And I'm glad, because the main complaint this season is like, even it's what we about consequence, but he always seemed to get off scot-free, and everybody else seemed to suffer. So for him to kind of like, I got to take the weight, is kind of like fitting, but it still is like, that's the main character of your show. And he just like, I'm out. And everybody's looking like, wait, what? Like, that whole thing just seemed out of nowhere. Like, it made sense in the story, but you don't see shows where it's like, you know, your main character's like, he leaving. Like, the show not getting canceled, but he's just leaving for a while. Mm-hmm.
Damn it. Okay. Am I back on?
Yes, you're back on.
All right. The game blew, so I was trying not to move this thing. Even my laptop's excited about what we just saw. Anyways, what was the last point you were making?
I was saying, like, you're not used to the main character, like, being taken off the board, more or less.
And like, that was my problem, because I hope this doesn't carry out for episode upon episode of Barry's got to, you know, I don't know what we're going to do without Barry. I don't know what we're going to do without Barry. And then Iris will suddenly start dating somebody out of the blue, and Kid Flash will be the Flash, and then we got to find Barry somehow. Look, it's like, God, we're in episode 7. Let's go.
It's funny, people had the reverse complaint about Flashpoint, thinking, oh, you know, they're not going to do it that long. It might just be an episode or yada, yada, yada. It's not going to have an effect. And it had an effect, and not in necessarily a good way. It's like, the show was a lot darker than normal. Like, Flash should be happy. And season two was kind of bad enough. Like, a lot of bad stuff happened. But season three was, like, worse. It was like, people weren't liking each other. It's like, if I want Arrow does darker better. And it was kind of like, it was stuck where Supergirl was doing stuff that Flash used to do, and Flash was doing the stuff that Arrow does better than Flash could. And it's kind of like, you need to go back to like being happy stuff in the team, and that's going to be kind of hard when the main character is in speed jail tomorrow. It's like a version of hell. They're like, oh, it's not going to be hell. It's going to be nice. Whatever. It's like, because, you know, I doubt it's going to be extended like more than like two episodes. It might be one or two, and then they find a way and everything. Because, you know, Flash to the future, like, you know, 6 months has passed, and Kid Flash and Jesse Quick doing it. Like, they have their team still trying to get, you know, Barry back and everything. And we go from there. Because you can't have the Flash without the Flash.
Well, someone made the point, well, in the comics, Barry was trapped in a Speed Force. I was like, shut up. Shut up. They're not going to do this on this show. I mean, you possibly can, because Wally became the Flash for 20-something years before they decided to bring Barry back, a character nobody was asking to bring back. Anyways, I can't see CW or Warner's doing this. But Justice League comes out in November. And to avoid confusion, they're not going to get rid of Grant, obviously. But when Justice League comes out, maybe they don't want two Barry Allens around, so Wally will be Flash. I just thought of this, by the way. So there's not a real well-rounded thought.
Much like most of us. I don't know what's worse, the fact that that's a thought, that the fact that you may be right. Like, comic nerds are some of the most analytic. Like, they can figure shit out. Like, why are they doing this whole? People might get confused. I'm like, no, they're not dumb like you, dummy. Like, one's a TV show, one's a movie. And, yeah, the whole thing with Justice League is kind of like, that's a sad thing. We didn't even talk about it. Like, Josh Whedon got finished the damn movie because Zack Snyder's daughter
committed suicide. Yeah, I was going to try and work that in.
Yeah, it's like, oh. And it's kind of like, that happened, what, March?
Yeah, so about a month and a half ago. Yeah.
And you just hearing about it now, and it's like, for all the talk, people like, I wish somebody else would do Justice League. Not like this. It's kind of like, it's better ways of, you know, getting what you want. And this is not the way. And especially, it's kind of like, you know, they say we just doing reshoots and filming stuff. The movie's more or less finished. And it's just such an awkward damn time. Because it's like, this is your flagship movie coming out. And the main guy, for better or for worse, that's pushing it, got to step aside. And it's not like a whole thing. And it's not like the other movies where they seem to have problems finding directors. Like, it's like if Kevin Feige had a stroke, basically. Yeah. And Marvel had to replace him. It's like, and it's funny, like, you, there's certain things you don't think about. And it's like, imagine if that happened. What would you do? And as strong as Marvel is, that would be a damn blow. Like, even more than, like, if any of the actors vanished. Like, the person that's pushing the ship. Because you see what happened when you don't have somebody good pushing it. Mm-hmm. And, like, you've seen it with other studios. So that's a tough situation. I don't know. I think it's kind of like he'll be around. They'll find a way to do it. Because it's like, it's the Flash. Like, you know, and this isn't NYPD Blue where, you know, you can sub out one guy, put somebody else in. Because it was always two people. It was like, you know, Dennis Franz was always there. So it was him plus somebody else. And, like, you know, SVU is kind of like the biggest show where one of the stars left, but it was kind of like, it was two stars, like when Chris Maloney left.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Ever since he left, it's just been her. Like, you couldn't picture SVU with her leaving because they never replaced him. Like, The Flash is kind of like, it's not an ensemble show like S.H.I.E.L.D. is. It's like, it's The Flash. Flash and Friends. It's like, it's not like you're gonna have him gone, and you like, if Oliver left Arrow, you're not gonna be probably, like, you know, Diggle in the gang or something like that. That's not what the show is about.
Oh, what a nightmare! So, I mean, no offense to Diggle, but I'd watch him and Quentin as like a buddy cop thing. But I'm tired. I forgot to mention, I'm tired of Curtis. Peace out, man. Enough. I mean, it's the writing that does it, but I don't care.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, he's the smart guy, but Felicity's smarter. He's the Olympian, but he can't fight. And he's got worse jokes than everybody else. It's kind of like, yeah, like, you talk the good talk, but you don't walk the walk. And it's just, and especially, they got too many grown-ups that are like, can do stuff. Where he would fit more on, like, Flash or Supergirl. Arrow's too serious for someone like him. And you already got Felicity for, like, Felicity being there makes him redundant is the biggest problem.
Yeah. Now, so that's why I guess Ragman really wasn't necessary either. He didn't really add anything other than was just a reminder of her guilt.
No, it wasn't that. He was overpowered. It's kind of like, you don't need these other jokers when he can do all, like, he stopped a damn nuclear explosion with his rags. Like, why do I need Wild Dog running around shooting Uzis and never hit anybody when I got this guy with magic rags? Like, it's almost that whole Supergirl problem. And it's kind of like when somebody's more, and even now when they had, like, the new Black Canary, like, and she's a real metahuman, you're so overpowered. It's kind of like, well, I just got a gun. It's like Hawkeye syndrome. Like, what I'm going to do with the Vision around? I got a bow and arrow. Like, what can I do that Iron Man can't do, basically, more or less? Yeah. And, like, yeah, so I figured that's why they had him leave, because it's kind of like, you know, he's there. He can save them whenever he needs to save them. It's the whole thing, like, why don't you have the Flash show up, such and such. It's like, that defeats the show. Like, if every time something bad happens, you just call the Flash or you call Supergirl, then why the hell am I watching the Arrow?
Yeah, well, I guess for the crossovers, but yeah, well, yeah, God, and it's funny. I just thought of this. Legends of Tomorrow ended so early compared to these guys.
Because they had fewer episodes. Yeah, they had fewer episodes too, and they had shorter gaps. And it's funny, like, I remember we laughed at that, you know, how that show ended. It's like, they broke time, you got dinosaurs in the future. That seemed quaint compared to all these other damn shows. It's kind of like, they got off easy. So, I'm looking forward to seeing how stuff looks next season. And speaking of that, did you finally catch up on S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I watched every episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. I hadn't watched in one day. And I'm not a big binge watcher, but it was so good, I couldn't stop. And then, of course, it let me watch all of them on the ABC app for free, which I thought was nice, except for the season finale. So I immediately, I don't know if, not Eric Nelson, my other friend Eric, I believe you met him at the wedding. I hit him up, and I was like, dude, I need your password for your cable account so I can sign in to ABC as a provider. And he's like,
yeah, he's like, no problem. You could just ask me. So,
oh, I didn't even know. God damn, that didn't even occur to me.
It's like, you know, I do have cable. You could have used my info, like my DirecTV account info.
Well, allegedly, I asked Eric. I asked him. Uh-huh. And allegedly, I could ask you as well.
Yes.
So, yes.
Quote, unquote, allegedly. But, yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. was this awesome this season.
That's like, the best season that show's had. It was consistent. It actually had good emotional impact. And it was, I mean, not even straightforward. It was, well, straightforward, yes, but it brought in so many different elements throughout the history of the show.
And not only that, it used the two things that normally would be a problem as a benefit. One, move into a later time frame so it could be more adult, and it was way more adult. And then two, you know how we used to complain about shows having, like, the long gaps? They used it perfectly. It's like, they basically split up, like, three mini-seasons. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the Ghost Rider stuff to the first gap. We're going to do the LMD stuff to the second gap. And then we're going to do the Framework stuff at the end. And it just worked. And everything fit. And it was kind of like, it was awesome from top to bottom, like, the whole season. Like, I would have never guessed, because S.H.I.E.L.D. was always been, like, straightforward stuff. And every now and then they did the space stuff with Hydra. One, we talked about before. No way in the world you thought, like, Ghost Rider would fit on this show. And Ghost Rider fit. Like, it worked. It's kind of like the effects were awesome. The actor they used was great. And it was just, it just felt right. Even though it's weird, like, Ghost Rider for Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. The whole LMD thing, it's kind of like they went all the way with it. And leading up into the all stuff with the Framework and Hydra and how, man, that stuff with Fitz was heartbreaking. Like, that whole thing. Like, one, he acted his ass off with that role and just, I don't know what was worse. The stuff he went through or the stuff Mac went through.
I don't know. It's a toss up because Fitz, I guess it's kind of a validation of if he would have listened to his dad, that's what would have happened, and then he sees what would have happened, even though it's fake. You know, it's the same thing with Mac in this case, but even though it was fake, they still remember it as if it was real. And the idea that somebody gentle murdering people, I mean.
Yeah. But not only that, he killed Mace. Like, that happened. They talking about, yeah, you know, it's the framework stuff. It's like, it's not a fantasy. It's more like a dream. It's like, Mace dead because of what Fitz did. And he's the first one pointed out, like, yeah, you can say all this stuff all you want. They came out in a bag. Like, it's not like he just woke up and everything. At least the stuff with Mac is like, you know, his daughter was deceased. His daughter was dead in real life anyway. So it's kind of like, I don't know, but it make it even worse. It's like all that stuff you wonder if you had. And like, even when he knew was fake, it was like he didn't care because, like, you know, it's real to me and I can't give this up. And then when everybody just started vanishing and everything, and then he just looks down and she's gone, I was like, man, like, even knowing it's kind of like it's not real, if like that just had to be heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm. I guess Max would be worse. Well, all right, I can't say that either, because Max knew it wasn't real and refused to leave. Fitz didn't want to leave, and Gemma basically pushed him through the hole. Because remember, she kept saying, "Just do this." He's like, "No, I'm good with what's here." And next thing you know, boop, there he is on the other side. Is it seriously?
And like, what the? And like the whole fact, like Yo-Yo going in there, she like, you know what? If you gonna go, I'm gonna go with you.
Yeah.
And it's thinking like she went all in, and it's kind of like, wow. And then we just know the fact that Coulson became Ghost Rider.
That was a little odd. It was fine. I mean, it fit the show, but I'm like, so Ghost Rider. A Ghost Rider cut a deal with him.
Yeah.
Which that was interesting, but.
And he warned him, like, you know what? Like, it's going to be rough. I hope you're ready. Like, he gave him that warning, like, it's not going to be easy. And that was unexpected. And Ada, she was an awesome villain.
Yes.
Like, when she. Like, she was just awesome. That whole torture scene with Gemma and everything, and he like, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill all your friends in front of you. I'm gonna make you watch. And I was like, it reminded me. What was it? Season two, when Ward and somebody else was torturing Bobby with the pins under the fingernails.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's reminded me, because it was kind of like, this is some rough ass stuff, and yeah.
And that's why. Well, they're putting it on Friday at 9, so they're moving it. Are they moving it? Yeah, they're moving it up an hour, but moving it to Friday where no one's gonna see it. But I was happy it got renewed because, did they put Coulson in space jail?
I don't know if he's in jail, if he's working, because it's kind of like they showed up in space, like time to go to work. So you know if he's in space jail or if he's working with somebody in space, because that was unexpected. It's kind of like,
yeah,
wow. And the fact that not only they got renewed for a full season, not just you get six episodes crap. It's like you getting the full amount. And I'm glad they gave it a chance, because it's kind of like it's a show that's improved each season. Shows normally kind of like, you know, they'll have a good season, they'll have a bad season, or they kind of like plateau. And ever since the Winter Soldier, it's steadily gotten better. And this season has been their best one, like top to bottom. And it helps that they have an awesome cast. They have a grown-up cast with people who can actually act. And then when they do fight scenes, they have people who know how to fight. And yeah, Min-Yang Wen, I don't care how old. I know they say she's in her 50s. I refuse to believe that. Like, it ain't. And it's funny. Like, I've seen her forever. Like, I remember her from stuff like in the 90s. I remember her when she was on like an ER and stuff like that. And I remember her in Mulan. And that was like early, mid-90s. And it's 2017. And she's just still around. It's just, it's funny. Like, her stuff with her and Coulson is kind of like, mm-hmm. They should be together. And, like, it makes sense. And they got chemistry, but they always kind of, like, danced around it, like, didn't mention it and stuff. And the fact that they kind of, like, started to mention it but didn't do it. And it just, like, everything about the show fits, like, you know. And I was just saying, wow, good Ward. I wish they could, like, it's funny, like, Ward was such an awesome, he was a much better villain than hero. But seeing a good version of Ward was, first, it was kind of weird because used to him being, like, one, you remember how boring he was when the first time he was a hero. And then you remember how awesome he was when the villain. But it's kind of like, I like Ward. And it was heartbreaking seeing Trip again. It's like, oh, we get to see him and he's going to be gone. Yeah, Cam said he stopped, like, he started watching S.H.I.E.L.D. and he stopped watching after the episode when Trip died. He hasn't watched it since.
Because his death on that show didn't get addressed all that much. One, it came out of the blue. That was after Winter Soldier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, he was like the first major death on there, like unexpected, I should say, because they're in there. It's like, oh, well, this is gonna happen. All right, oh, we're all trapped. Need some help. All of a sudden, he gets shriveled up and turns to dust. Like, wait, what? You just killed.
And it's funny. Yeah, it's kind of like, and it's first you see Daisy break out and looking all super powerful, and then you see Trip dead, and it's like, talk about a damn roller coaster.
Yeah.
Like that was just because it's kind of like, wait, first she's like, wow, so she's an inhuman. And then it's like, wait, Trip dead? And like the episode ends, and it's like, what? Like I was thinking that, like, wait, so he ain't dead? Is he? Like, no, he's dead. And it's like, yeah, wow. Shit, that's when S.H.I.E.L.D. start knows, like, you know what? Ain't nobody safe, because people die on that. People have died on that show. Villains and heroes, mm-hmm. unexpectedly or expectedly. Like, and speaking of that, how Radcliffe went out was just, you know, drinking the scotch and anything like that, and then he about to drink it and say something and just vanish, and the bottle drops. Like, yeah, from top to bottom, that was just an awesome season.
Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of that. I mean, I immensely enjoyed that, and it was funny because you were talking about, hey, did you watch it? Yeah, I was like, no, I got to wait for it to come out on demand, and this DirecTV Now thing's kind of goofy. Their on-demand service runs real slow, and people have been complaining to them about it. And they're saying, well, it's up to the networks to upload the on-demand items. Well, yes, but if you go to, like, my cable provider already has them listed. If you're on Sling, they're already listed on Sling as well. So they're kind of skirting the issue. Of course, when all you can do is talk to them through Twitter, it doesn't really help, but... Other than that, I have no complaints with this thing. I forget sometimes we're not watching cable, but that's why I was very happy to see S.H.I.E.L.D. came back. When the portal opens up and all of a sudden Ghost Rider walks out, I was like, are you kidding? Like, they're bringing all the three separate stories, they're all bringing them together, and yeah. Just really good writing this year.
Yeah, he was kicking the crap. It's funny, like, how superpowered Ada was when she was murdering all those S.H.I.E.L.D. agents because she had all those inhuman powers. And Ghost Rider was just beating the crap out of whenever they fight. As soon as he saw him, she's like, nope, I'm out. Just teleporting, because she did not want that work. So.
There was a good. I just totally lost it. Oh, well. There's something I was really pleased with it, but whatever.
And it has some good lines I don't remember. I got to rewatch. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. is real funny about playing with, like, comic show tropes. Like, you know, like, you expected something, and they'll give you, like, the opposite, or they kind of play it up and kind of, like, a little wink, but not obnoxious about it. So, yeah. Like, I'm looking forward to – I'm glad it got renewed, even though Friday's a weird night. Like we said, if you watch the DVR, it doesn't matter anyway. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing it. Way more excited about seeing that than Inhumans. Like, yeah.
We have not talked about that, and oh boy,
nope.
Man. I mean, yeah, it's like, only eight
fake,
episodes.
Get this fake X-Men out. Yeah, get this fake X-Men out my face. That's how I thought. I'm sick of Ike Perlmutter trying to make the Inhumans a thing because Fox has X-Men. Like, go somewhere. Like, that's all this is. Like, and it's, I'm like, no, I don't care what you, especially when you got all these shows, and especially when you get like an X-Men show coming out. And it's funny, like, yeah, like, no, I don't care if it's on IMAX and everything. Like, Inhumans were never excited to me, like, ever. It's like, okay, Black Bolt's cool with his power because he can't talk. Medusa got hair. And they got a teleporting dog. Whoop-de-damn-do. Like, when they were doing their thing on the side or doing something with Fantastic Four, that's fine. Them trying to be the X-Men, like, get out my face with that. Like, no. You can tell me whatever you want to do. Nope.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is the Inhumans, and it always goes back to the comics. If these things were popular to begin with, there would have been consistently an Inhumans comic book since their inception, if they were that popular. The truth of the matter is, they're not that popular, and that's why they can't get a series to last at all. Because people don't care. Yeah. And then to make matters worse, I think Stephen Amell, when they were introducing Supergirl, there was something wrong with the Supergirl outfit, if I remember right. And he came to the defense of it. This is when I was on CBS. He came to Supergirl's defense and said, hey, you know, I understand the importance of comics, or I understand the importance of costumes. He's like, these things are going to get tweaked. Give it a second. You know, just calm down, basically. And that was 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, whenever they came up with the Supergirl concept. Then they released that picture of the Inhumans. Like, is this a costume party? Because that looks like garbage.
Yeah, and people, like, I've seen better stuff in cosplay. Like, this is ABC money, and this is like Ike Perlmutter's baby. Like, the main reason this is a thing, because he wants this. And it's like, you could have fooled me. Like, costumes, it's funny, costumes are hard to do on TV shows. Like, movies, if you got enough money, you can do it, as long as you embrace, like, you know, actually using color and not putting everything under like an ash filter. But TV shows has always been, you know, like, CW got lucky. Like, you know, Flash costume looks a lot better than they could have. You know, and it's hard doing costumes. Having said that, if you're doing a team that has the costumes, do not make it look like, you know, somebody got it from the Five and Dime store. Mm-hmm. And the fact they're saying, like, I don't even know, like, Medusa, like, how are we going to CGI hair because it's so hard, and I don't know how we're going to do it. That's a big-ass problem. Like, her main power is using her hair. That's almost like having Mr. Fantastic and not making him stretch because you can't afford it. Like, then, well, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't be doing that show.
Have you seen the Roger Corman Fantastic Four?
No, you got me to watch that Captain America with a Red Skull with a tie in. That was enough.
We've never talked about that, did we?
We never will. Like, I watched 20 minutes of that crap. I'm like, Jeremy sucker me in his nonsense.
You didn't watch the end? Oh, that's one of my favorite movie lines. Captain America saves the president. Because, of course, he does. The president looks at Captain America and goes, I met you. And this is in the middle of, like, chaos. He goes, I met you before. Captain America goes, you did? He's like, yeah, I was a little boy, though. And then they just start fighting. That was it. There's no payoff. No Captain America going, oh, well, pleased to meet you again or something. They just start fighting again. It's brilliant. It's just so dumb. And that's... Oof. There's a strong resemblance to some of these costumes to that Captain America costume. I mean, yeah, man.
Yeah, so I'm like, whatever. It's too many shows, comic and otherwise, that's going to be on for me to give time to stuff. Like, even, I watch shows you don't watch. Like, I watch Gotham because that show is batshit crazy. And it's thinking because I didn't tell you, I watched The Shield, like, from beginning to end, because I didn't watch it when it came on the first time, so I was like, I'm going to give it a run. And seeing how awesome Michael Chiklis is in that, it's just hilarious. Like, I'm watching him now, and he's got a metal blade on his hand, looking like the Kool-Aid Man from like the Renaissance era. This, and I'm just watching this, and he's playing it straight, and I'm like, this show is batshit. I tell people all the time, Gotham is a cop show with comic book rules. if you just know that going all in, you'll enjoy the show because it has an awesome cast. They play it completely straight, and that show is batshit insane. If you care anything about the comics, do not watch that show.
Like, and I think that's a fine way of doing it as well. If you're going to take this property and change it around like that, I think that's a good way of doing it. So,
yeah, like they took, you know, Commissioner Gordon's wife, and she's a crazy bisexual mob boss. Bruce Wayne had a clone. Like, it's just all this stuff that's just going on. I'm just watching it, and they playing everything straight. Like, they're not winking at the camera. They're not. I don't know if I told you this story. It might be the second time I tell you. One of the seasons ended where this, like, my boss that became a mayor that had beef with the Waynes, he died. He came back to life as Osriel, and he's hunting, you know, Gordon, Bruce Wayne, and Alfred. So the Penguin shows up with his henchmen and blows him up with a bazooka. Wow. RPG. It comes up, the Wayne man in the car pulls out an RPG out the trunk and just blows them. It's like a million bits, and they just play it straight, like, you know, that's just doing business. And Alfred starts laughing, and then everybody, and Bruce is looking at Gordon, and I'm like, yeah, this is this type of show. Like, it made sense in the show because, like, this guy already died once. He was almost basically like he was getting shot and stabbed and wasn't dying or anything like that. It's like, how would you kill somebody that can't be killed? You blow them up in a million bits. So that's what they didn't play around. They blew them up with a damn bazooka. It's like, you would never see that on, like, The Flash. Like, you know, somebody blowing up Savitar with a hand grenade or something like that. It'd be some speed nonsense. So are we going to shift the polarity? It's like, sometimes you just got to use a big-ass gun.
To go back to the Michael Chiklis thing, how did you watch all of The Shield? Did you finish it?
Yes. Yes, I did.
How good was that Forrest Whitaker season?
That
was insane. It's funny,
like,
TV.
That was amazing. Yeah, and it was funny. Like, that back-to-back season, like Glenn Close season and then the Forrest Whitaker season, especially watching them back-to-back, was like, this one's like, how the hell did they get Glenn Close and Forrest Whitaker to just show up on their show for, like, a season arc? The first thing I was thinking, because it was like, it was, I remember when Glenn Close first showed up, and she just all strolling in there and everything, and I'm like, that's Oscar-nominated Glenn Close, and she's going to be on there the whole season. And then, like, Forrest Whitaker, it was funny because it was kind of like, he played that role so peculiar. Kind of like he was, I don't know if he was like, almost like he was on the spectrum. Like, he was like,
yes,
childlike, but he was just ferocious. And it was just so awkward. He was just there like a bulldog over and over again. And then he just couldn't help himself. He just had to cheat and try to break the rules.
That was the most crushing part of that, is when he gets arrested for planting the evidence in that. And he keeps going, I'm the good guy. I'm the good guy. I'm the good guy. Like, he didn't get it. All the way to the end, it was like, well, you're not anymore. And it's like, now you see how easily you can get pushed into corruption like this. Is that one small step, and then you become Mackie. And then, I know the show, I can't remember when it was over, but what did you think of the final episode? Like, what happened with Vic? People were pissed off back then.
You know what's funny? I can see why, but it makes sense because you forget that he's a bad person. Because, like, the first episode you watch, and he shoots Terry.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, okay, this guy's a dirtbag, but he's a good cop. But having people worse than him around kind of, like, fend off. Because, one, Acevedo was there. He's just, like, this sleazebag trying to, you know, work his way up the ladder. But Shane was just horrible. And Shane always been around, kind of like, well, you know, maybe Vic ain't that bad, because at least he ain't Shane. I was thinking that the whole time, like, maybe Vic ain't that bad, because at least he ain't Shane. And it's kind of like I was rooting for Vic by, like, season two or season three, all the way up to the end, when he screwed Ronnie, and he was confessing all this stuff. It's like, that's like, oh, yeah. It was like, because all the stuff that happened, like what happened with Lem, that stuff with Shane was just heartbreaking, but Ronnie just taking the damn fall and Vic just throwing everybody the bus. It's kind of like, you know what? He deserves that. Like, I know he's a great actor, charismatic, but it was like he got off way too scot-free. Like, everybody else, like, losing their jobs, losing their lives. Like, Ronnie's like, we could have ran. I was going to run. And you knew this would happen, and he couldn't even look at himself. And then, he gets off. He thinks scot-free. He gets this job. He realizes he can't do anything at his job. His family leaves him. His friends hate him. And he's just there, like, stuck at the desk.
But he only had, what, 2 years? 3 years? Of desk work, and that was 3 years.
Yeah, but it's like it might as well be 300. Like, what is he gonna do when he's done?
Yeah,
it's kind of like, okay, you do your 3 years, you're a pariah in your own city, you'll never see your family again. You don't got that money train money anymore. Nobody likes you. Like, somebody made a joke, like maybe he became a truck driver, showed up on Sons of Anarchy, because he shows up in the last season.
Yes.
And I was kind of like, maybe that's what happened, because that would make more sense. Because it's like, yeah, that show ended the way it did. And it's funny where Cam was asking, like, when I was watching, like, who did I think was going to kind of have a happy ending? More people than I thought. But it wasn't a lot of happiness, because, like, yeah, Claudette's going to, like, she's probably going to die soon. The strike team's ruined. I guess Dutch. And Acevedo, he's going to be mayor, even though he had no, like, boy, talk about Teflon Don. Yeah, he was a dirtball. But it's funny, like, it's kind of like that show, people kind of sleep on it now. Like, it seems quaint now when you see, like, the Breaking Bads and the Sons of Anarchy stuff. Like, nobody did that before the show came out. Mm-hmm. Like, they were the first one. And then, like, the violence and the language stuff, like, yeah, it was like, I could imagine how it was in, like, the 2000s, because most shows don't even do that now. Like, they're more. It almost felt like it was like a Showtime or an HBO show on basic cable.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Like, I know MIP, the blue head nudity, like male ass, whatever. But
yeah, they had the wrong type of nudity.
Yeah, depending on what you're looking for, but it was. That was another thing the Shield really ramped up. I mean, the sexuality on that show, the language, this everything about that show. I don't think it gets enough credit for anything. Mm-hmm. Because it was a dirty show. Nobody on that show was a good person by the end. No. Well, I don't remember CC Pounder's name. I don't remember her name, but
Wims.
Yeah, she was fine.
Yeah, and she's a great actress that doesn't get enough credit. Like, she's great in everything she does. And she was really the only one. She always tried to play it straight, always, even when it bit her in the ass and everything like that. She was all about the rules as much as possible. And it's kind of like she was that one, like, decent person on there. Like, her and Dutch. Like, Dutch was a weirdo, but Dutch always tried to do the right thing too. It's funny, like, those two were kind of like conscious of the show compared to everybody, because everybody else was like either semi-sleazy, hypocritical, or just straight evil.
Yeah. Well, they tried making Dutch out to be like that serial killer for a while. They wanted you to think that he could have possibly been doing that stuff. And it was like, oh boy, but
yeah, he just always seemed like he's just that smart, awkward, like, super detective. That just didn't have any, you know, luck with women until the end.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. That was one of the first shows where I was like, I have to watch this while it's live, and I have to watch this now. So
yeah.
But yeah, yeah, so it was cool.
I had never watched up until then, and I watched it, and then I just, like, Michael Chiklis, it's funny, like, him and John Hamm are these great actors that do not get the work that they. I don't know if people just don't know how to use them the right way or what it is. It's kind of like they should get more work, like both of them. Like at least John Hamm's doing, like, movies, but it's like, how's he not a movie star?
I've heard him described as too handsome.
Yes.
And I guess, but
I mean,
are we at that point where we don't like handsome people?
No, it's kind of like you get trapped. It's funny how you hear about white women actors complain all the time. Like, if I look a certain way, I don't get respected because they think you look too good to do certain roles. So I got to ugly myself up. That happens. How many? Think about it. How many attractive male actors are taken seriously? Like Denzel and Harrison Ford back in the day. Like, how many offhand you think about, like, they're a great actor, they were, like, handsome as a man?
Yeah, wow, well, George Clooney.
But even, yeah, like...
And Brad Pitt, but those are old styles.
Yeah, like, George Clooney, but even Brad Pitt wasn't taken seriously, so he started playing weirdos, like...
Oh, okay, I'm with you now,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, like, Brad Pitt was, like, getting roles, but it was like, oh, he's just a pretty boy and stuff. It wasn't until he started, like, Seven and Fight Club. It's like, Brad Pitt is a character actor that looks like, you know, a guy from the 40s. Like, you know, George Clooney is, like, trapped by his looks where he's a great actor, but he's not. He's looked at, like, you know, he should be there sipping wine with a cigarette telling a woman to get, like, put up the dishes. Like, he's trapped by his look. John Hannon has the same problem. Like, a lot of those pretty boy actors get stuck into, like, he looked too good to do certain things. Like, John Hannon, like, they say he looks like an astronaut. Like, he, and it's not like the rugged, like Ben Affleck looks like that boozy handsome guy, like,
yeah,
well. So like he's a handsome dude, but he's like rough enough where you can see it, and the other ones are kind of like, you know, yeah, it was like Denzel was the exception, he was not the rule. Most of the time, if you look too good, you will not get certain roles. So I can see that Michael Chiklis, I don't know what it is, I just think they just don't know how to use him. Like,
he's not a particularly tall guy, and being bald and like that. Well, he was on American Horror Story, I think it was Freak Show, mm-hmm. and he played like the strong man, which I thought was perfect for him because that's kind of what he looks like. He looks like those old-timey strong men, which, you know, what roles do you really give those guys?
Well, it's funny. Yeah. I remember him from The Commish, and then see him on The Shield. It's like, how are they the same people?
Yeah.
Like, on The Shield, he just looks like the damn juggernaut. Like, he looks like a monster. And he used to be, like, a big, fat dude. Like, imagine Dennis France running around being a weightlifter one day.
Yeah.
Because they had, like, kind of similar body types. And then Michael Chiklis must hit the gym. And, like, you know what? Because, yeah. I just think it's that sometimes people have a certain perception and they don't necessarily know how to use you in a role. And I think he just fits into that because it's kind of like, I'm glad he's on Gotham, even though it's funny, like, he was the straight cop here to clean up, you know, Gotham precinct, and he became evil himself. Like, watching The Shield and then watching him be, like, the straight cop was funny.
Well, I think, well, I'm out of shows. Yeah, all the TV shows. It's funny, Kevin and I were talking about viewing habits on Stunk Granny last night, and... Yeah, all the TV shows I watch are done until
fall.
Yeah, it's more or less fall. Yeah, because
yeah.
The Americans, we're just gonna watch them all in a week or something.
Do you watch Preacher?
Oh, that's coming back.
That's June. I'm kind of like, and like I watched it. It was kind of like it was okay. I wasn't. It was funny. Like this.
They introduce all these people and then kill every one of them. And I think if you're an outside viewer, it's, oh, well, that's different. But if you read the comics, the whole time I'm sitting there going, why are we doing this? Like, what is this? And then at the end, everything blows up. And I was like, this is what they were planning on doing. You didn't need the backstory. So,
I mean, it's different. Like, if you're an outside viewer, you need, because I'm watching this, I'm like, what the hell is, like, I'm watching it and it's well done and well acted, but I think I had the same feeling I had like watching Legion, like, what the hell is going on? And even this season of Fargo, like,
I've not watched that yet, so don't tell me anything.
Okay, I've been watching like I'm watching, my whole thing is like I've been watching something. Like, not like in a bad way, just in a weird way. Like, I think I like what I'm watching, but I don't know. So that came on tonight. I'm gonna watch that after I get off with you.
Well, yeah, I started watching Legion, and I think it's been a while since I went back to it because it was cool looking, it was interesting, but I just didn't care.
Yeah, it it eventually leads into the comics, but it's like, I joke, it's one of those shows where you have, if you're not, some stuff you can kind of watch in the background, be okay, and you still pay attention. Legion, you have to watch it. Otherwise, you're like, what the hell am I watching? Like, in, I call it like Hannibal syndrome. Hannibal did it well. Like, Hannibal was a show where you had to pay attention, but I was never bored watching Hannibal. Like, even with, like, in American Gods, it's kind of like the same way. Like, it's a lot of stuff going on, but I'm never bored. Some of those shows, like Legion and Fargo sometimes and Preacher, I'm like, I'd rather be watching something stupid that and fun than, like, dude, this just seems, like, too artsy. I've never been a, like, art for the sake of art. I've never really been a fan of it. Like, I can appreciate the work that goes involved, but too many times, like, let me show you what I learned in art class. And it's kind of like, okay, I like that you like to use different colors and abstract stuff. And it's like, sometimes I'm not, especially you come on 9 o'clock at night and I'm about to go to sleep. It's like, I don't know. I'd rather just watch SmackDown. So,
yeah. But, no. Well, I'm enjoyed the hell out of the first two seasons of Fargo. So I was hyped up to see this one. And without a DVR, you know, kind of messes things up. But now I can go back and watch it all. And then,
I never watched the first season. I watched the second season. I really enjoyed the second one.
You don't really need to know anything about the first one to enjoy the second, other than Molly is the little girl who is the main cop, main character in the first season. That's all you need to know.
And apparently the Native American ended up being somebody from the first season. Like,
oh my God, that's who that was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
God. All right, that makes perfect sense then. I'll have to tell Elise. Okay.
And quick thing, because we're going to wrap up soon. I was catching up on Westworld because I started watching it. Then Arlene wanted to watch it, but then she never got around to watching it, so I didn't. Man, Thandie Newton does. One, that cast is stacked. It's unfair. Like, that's the biggest advantage, like, HBO and, like, Stars and them have. They can have the episodes as long as they want. They can have credit. Like, you notice, like, shows, them don't have, like, credit, like, openings anymore. Because it's kind of like, you know, we can spend 2 minutes on credits or we can do 30 seconds and use it on show. When you're on cable, you don't have to worry about that. So they have the awesome openings. And then, too, it's like, you look at that cast and it's like, Ed Harris and Anthony Hopkins and Jeffrey Wright and, like, up and down. Like, these are movie actors, and they got, like, 6 or 7 of them before you get to, like, regular people. And having said all that, Thandie Newton is awesome. Like, she is just so awesome on that show. Like, she's a great actress that kind of, like, gets, like, not noticed because it's kind of like, I don't know. Like, she works. She gets a lot of roles, but she's never been like a movie star. She's just been great in everything she is. And she is just captivating on this show. Like, she's acting her ass off around a whole bunch of people who can act. It's like she stands out. And I've been – her and Ed Harris. Like, Ed Harris plays a great
– a highly underrated actor.
Yes. Yeah. Ed Harris is kind of like – he plays a great grizzled dickhead. And he's awesome. Like he's – chewing scenery, but he's not being obnoxious about it. Like, he's just, you can tell he's enjoying himself. And Anthony Hopkins, like, being creepy and powerful, man, he can do that in his sleep. But I would say that I think I'm on, like, episode 6, and I'm watching it, and I think I'm enjoying it now more, taking a step back than I did when I first watched it.
Well, we'll probably catch up. I've heard the good things about it. We'll probably catch up on that when we get HBO again to watch Game of Thrones. Because there's only, what, 8 episodes of that? It's not very long.
Yeah, 8 or 10. It's kind of like, it was kind of like a placeholder. There's a lot of stuff we didn't talk about, like Game of Thrones, yeah. Trailer drop. Did you see Alien?
No. We went to a wedding reception Saturday night and got home Sunday morning late. So.
Did you plan on seeing it?
I was going to, but I haven't heard many good things about it. So I'm like.
I saw it. I guess I'll talk about it quickly. It's better than Prometheus, but it is a very violent ass body horror movie. Like, they don't make movies like that anymore. Like, big budget gory horror movie, especially like you wouldn't expect. I guess first I would say you wouldn't expect that from Ridley Scott, but I'm like, he did make the first Alien movie, yeah. And it's like he ain't afraid of violence. And Michael Fassbender is a world class actor.
Yes,
like he was just. I don't know what's better, him playing a human or him playing a robot. Like, and he played like two different styles of robots because he's playing like, you know, the character from Prometheus, and then he's playing another one that's kind of like, you know, they're different. And it's just, he works in that movie. Like, I don't know if the movie necessarily works. Like, it's, I think it's like, it's a good, I'm trying to find a way. One, it's a good movie in parts. The end is kind of like, the action ending is kind of like, I guess the ending is like, yeah, this has been a season like movies having horrible ending, like bad things happening, because it had a bad ending for how people go. I'll leave it at that. But yeah, Michael Fassbender is amazing as an actor. Like, he can act his ass off.
Is this the one that leads at the end? It leads into the first Alien? Or is that supposed to be the next one?
I think the next one will probably, because it's like enough space in there, but it's like, it's, at least when people do stupid stuff in this movie, it makes sense because it's like everybody in there like family, like they're like couples and stuff, and you do stupid stuff when it's for people you love, and you do stuff you normally wouldn't do because if you care about people. So at least that's more explained, and Danny McBride being serious works, and I would have never guessed it. Like, I would have never guessed that. I always think of him as like, you know, Mr. Funny Man, you know, Kenny Powers, Danny McBride, and him being funny but being serious. But like, it's an enjoyable movie. It has its flaws, but I would see it if I get the chance. If you had the chance to see, like, you could wait for it to come out on Blu-ray, DVD. But it's kind of like, I wasn't disappointed seeing the movie. Like, I didn't feel like I wasted my time or wasted my money.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. It's a long weekend. Don't really have any plans either, which is nice. So, I mean, I got possibly the Murph workout Monday. My knee's tricking me, so I don't know. But one we are definitely going to see is Pirates of the Caribbean, even though the reviews of that haven't been stellar either. But
they've never been since the first
exactly.
One.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. So, good. Don't care. So
yeah, like I'll probably see that. I don't know when. We're definitely going to see Baywatch because that also comes out this weekend. Darlene says she wanted to see that.
Yeah, that one's not getting kind reviews either, but
I always see The Rock. So
yeah, it's like, yeah, that's exactly it. It's like,
it's like when you like somebody, it's funny, like when you like somebody or you like a movie, you don't really give a damn about the reviews. Reviews only matter when you're like kind of on the fence. So, yeah. And then like Wonder Woman comes out next week.
Thursday, it's 7 o'clock for me.
And it's funny, like, normally they have, like, box office prediction, and Wonder Woman has been all over the place. I've seen anywhere between $65 and $90 million. That's a big-ass kind of, that's a big-ass range.
Wait, like, they're only expecting $65 to $90 million for Wonder Woman, huh?
That's, considering that it's, and funny is, like, that would be. It's funny where on one hand you think that would be like a failure considering how much Batman versus Superman and
that's,
Suicide
that's
Squad made.
Like, that's
but on the other hand, it's like this is the first. Like, it's a one. It's a woman comic movie, and two, it's a woman comic. It's like it's Wonder Woman. Like Wonder Woman is. It's like everyone knows Wonder Woman, but there's never been a Wonder Woman movie. The only Wonder Woman thing you had is a Wonder Woman show, and
yeah,
it's true. Big, but not. It's funny where it's like it's kind of like it's a lot of stuff going against it, even though it shouldn't. I think it's going to do well because, one, you haven't had like a big budget woman movie. Like, this is the first Wonder Woman movie. First of all, like this is a you don't get like a lot of like the last woman comic we got was fucking Catwoman. And yeah, the less said about that is the better. It's kind of like it's a lot riding on this movie for not only DC. In the DC universe, but for women movies, because it's like even when it's successful, they're like, women can't open movies. It's that whole nonsense. Like, I just saw King Arthur die on the damn vine. Guy Ritchie's gonna make Aladdin next. Like, he's had two bombs back to back, and they ain't stopping him.
Aladdin? Never mind. We had to get out of here. But
yeah, so it's kind of like
whatever.
Men can fail all day long. Women's like, you gotta keep being successful. And if you bomb once, you're going to be making pancakes toots like beat it. Yeah. So,
well, I looked up the budget, and the budget's only $120 million. So $90 million wouldn't be bad then.
Yeah, it's funny, like, people complain about the budget being lowered and normal. Like, that'd be a good thing because it's kind of like Logan, when his success was, it was only $95 million, and the R-rated movie made over $600 million. Yep. It's kind of like, yeah, considering a lot of comic movies, the budget is usually double to sometimes triple that. So, yeah, I think it's going to do well. I think people kind of like underestimating it. And
I want it to be good so badly. I just want it to be really good.
Everyone does, and that's the one thing that helps. It's kind of like, this is what the whole thing is like. It's not like Suicide Squad or even like Batman vs. Superman. It's like everybody's rooting for Wonder Woman. They want to do well. So it has its goodwill. So hopefully it will be good. Fingers crossed, and we will see.
Yeah. So on that note, before we do get out of here, if you listen to this before you listen to Stunt Granny, or if you've now listened to this after Stunt Granny, I have to backtrack on something I said yesterday. Kevin asked me how Jinder Mahal, his celebration went, and I said it was just okay. I rewatched it again today. I wasn't blown away by his promo, but the circumstance, the pomp and circumstance around it, that was some cool stuff. So I have to withdraw that. So
yeah, I have heard that a lot. It's kind of like, it's funny where people were against it, him winning, until he won. And now it's kind of like, it's a lot of people that's kind of like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm down with it. Because it's like, somebody talking about, like, he's out there celebrating with his culture, having pride. How am I going to boo that? Like, you know, I can't.
And then he starts yelling at me for, like, not liking him. I'm like, dude, what are you yelling? This is what I said yesterday. He's like, why are you yelling at me? I don't know you.
About it. Like, just think, we won't get too deep in it. Think about the nature of pro wrestling, how they treat foreigners.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, it's kind of hard. Like, he's justified. Like, the best villains are the ones that's justified in being heroes. It's kind of like, he didn't say anything that's wrong. And to hell with Randy Orton. It's like, I ain't booing him. So I'm cool. Like, don't hinder, like, get him a t-shirt. Don't hinder Gender. And like, let's do it. So
yeah, get him any sort of merchandise. Anything would be fine. That's how you know this was not planned in advance. Like, they may want to get in that Indian market, but they are not. They did not have this planned out.
Yeah, he doesn't have
a T-shirt.
Yeah, you go on WWE.com, you do a merchandise search for Jinder Mahal, says search not found. See if you spell the name correctly.
It's J-I-N-D-E-R, right?
Yes.
All right. Jinder Mahal, of course, first thing that pops up, steroids. Let's see merch. Let me see if I just want to see if anyone on the internet.
So I went on IGN, like, for Arrow, see what rating they gave it. They gave it a 10 for the last episode.
Oh wow! Damn.
Yeah, like that was. I mean, that was a damn awesome episode. I think I'm gonna rewatch it. Like, that was just an awesome ass episode, and the whole island blew up.
The, like, entire island blew up
with everybody on it, and it's like, that's some big brass balls that he had on. So yeah, looking forward to seeing that, to wrap it all up.
Yep. And we just wrapped up the show by going backwards, so nice little 360 we got. So yeah, guys, if first time listened, go to whatever platform you got, look up Stunt Granny. You get all this stuff. Twitter, Facebook, all that. We're on there. And, Wonder Woman Thursday. So you know what we'll be talking about next week for a while. So have a week, guys, and we'll get at you later.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Dohati, and boom, we are out.